All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to keep beating this dead horse a little bit longer. And so you're going to get to see our Louisiana perspective. It's a little bit different than what my colleagues have seen in the Mid-South, although David and I, you know, we seem to have similar problems that are starting up here in Texas and Louisiana. So this picture is kind of circulated around Twitter. I took it last year, and this is where, when you see I have Rapides Parish unexpected injury, this is from that field. This was 2017, and those strips, that's the non-BT. And it looks like a picker went through there, but that's actually worm damage. And so that's extreme worm pressure that is being constantly applied to the cotton in this area. And so, and it's really causing a lot of issues with our growers because it's, you know, we're starting to see breakdowns in all of our technologies. And I'll get to that a little later. But so what really drives our issues is corn. And I know my colleagues in the Mid-South, most of the entomologists in the Southeast and the South have really kind of driven this point home. But, and all of us pretty much have data to support it, and this was data out of Macon Ridge, out of Winnsboro in 2017. On the y-axis, you have total worms in 10 ears, and on the x, you have the different technologies. So you have Roundup Ready, Double Pro, Roundup Ready Pioneer Variety, Herculex, Yield Guard Herculex, and then on the very far right-hand side is VIP. And so we're seeing that VIP controls corn earworm very well in corn. But, you know, do we really need it in the South? And this was our data from 2018, and it's a little bit variable. So we did see a significant difference. Where we had Double Pro, we had significantly lower worms. So Double Pro is all the way on the right, on the left, all the way towards me, is you have VIP. VIP is still controlling our worms very well in corn. But what really gets to the point is, do we need VIP in the South? And I think the overwhelming answer is no, because we don't see it in the yields. Where you see you've got the two middle bars that are significantly lower, that's our Pioneer Roundup Ready, and then you have your Delta Pine or the Monsanto Roundup Ready. And then you've got Double Pro, VIP, and then Yield Guard Herculex yielded significantly higher than our VIP corn. So we're accomplishing the goal without the VIP toxin. And so, you know, I know most everyone knows that BT corn was not initially designed for ear feeders, it was designed for borers. And so even in Louisiana, when we plant corn in a timely fashion, which is typically that March time planting, we can outrun a lot of our ear feeders, and we don't see the need for VIP in our southern corn production system in the Mid-South. And so what we saw in 2017 was pretty eye-opening to all of us in the Mid-South. I know it shocked me in Louisiana because typically Bolgar 2 was our standard. And 2017, I saw Bolgar 2 completely turn upside down. It looked like it was a non-BT variety in some of my spots. So in 2018, I put out BT Sentinel plot locations. These are large plot, non-replicated, typically a half an acre to an acre in size, depending on the farmer's field. And the area that you see, these are our main cotton-growing areas around the state of Louisiana. And so the Red River Research Station is up there in Bossier Parish, Macon Ridge Research Station. I don't have a pointer, but it's going to be one of the two blue parishes that are adjoined over by the Mississippi River. The Northeast Research Station is in Tensaw Parish. And then Rapides Parish, I had it on a grower's farm, Finke Farms, which is about 10 miles away from the Central Research, or the Dean Lee Research Station in Alexandria. So our Rapides Parish, this is Bolgar 2 injury. This is from that exact same field that we saw where it looked like a picker went through it. And so we were running as an average total fruit 69% injury in Bolgar 2 on July 24th. That was primarily made up of squares and bowls. And what we do is we'd sample 200 pieces of fruit randomly in the field, and then we came out and made a tally. And so this is Bolgar 3. So we were running 18% total fruit injury in Bolgar 3. Now keep in mind, our Mid-South threshold is 6%. So this is clearly an unexpected injury and a field failure. And so this was really alarming to me. And so this was alarming. I know Chris Daves is in the room. Chris walked the field with me. And so he saw the amount of injury that we were experiencing in both the Bolgar 2 and the 3. And so as a result, I've made collections and sent them to Dr. Kearns at Texas A&M. As you saw from the previous data, we had no VIP-resistant colonies that came out of Louisiana. And so what we're really seeing is the sheer amount of pressure, the selection pressure, with potentially dips in expression. And so if you've got enough worms knocking on the door on this cotton, they're going to find the weaknesses. And so if we have any adverse event that may affect expression, then we're going to see some unexpected injury. And so this area in central Louisiana, I have a theory. I need somebody smarter than me to prove it, but we typically see our worst insect pressure around water. And so Louisiana is typically full of bayous, ditches, and I think what it is, it's undisturbed soil where they overwinter. We don't run paratills. We don't do anything next to these areas, and they stay completely undisturbed, and they lie there essentially all year round. And then typically wherever I have a field that backs up to a bayou, we have severe insect issues with corn earworm. And so we saw that on the Macon Ridge Research Station as well. We have one spot in one field where we get bollworm pressure, and it backs up to a slough that's got very wet, a lot of aquatic vegetation that I don't know if I'm kind of grasping at straws here, but I think there's, at least for us, there may be something to it, because that's typically where we see our worst pressure. This was Rapides Parish. This was Wide Strike 3 on July 23rd. And so that week of July 23rd was a pretty terrible week for us growing cotton in the state of Louisiana. This field, I'll characterize it this way. It took 9 of my crew less than an hour to collect 300 worms that were anywhere from 3rd to probably 5th instar. I mean, we were pulling snakes out of bowls, bloom tags, flowers, squares. Essentially, I pulled a plant up and 60 to 70% of it had every fruiting form had a worm hanging out of it. And so when the grower called me, when the consultant actually called me and said, "Hey, I've got a field of wide strike that is completely getting eaten up." I thought, he said, "Well, and I think it's 330." And so it's wide strike 3. And so I didn't believe him when I got out there. It's like, "No, it's 333, 312." And we tested it and it was 330. And so it was pretty shocking and pretty eye-opening to all of us, my colleagues as well, that we were seeing such severe injury in wide strike 3. So this is looking at kind of going around those BT Sentinel plots around the state. So you have Twin Link Plus, your technologies on the X-axis, fruit injury on the Y-axis. This is the one day, July 24th, so we were busy that day. We were running all over the state. Twin Link Plus performed the best out of the technologies. Bollguard 3 was a close second, and Wide Strike 3 performed well. My bars didn't make it on the slide set, but at that 6% injury, Bollguard 3, Wide Strike 3 roughly stayed below 6% injury. And this is squares and bowls and then total fruit. And so, but Twin Link, Bollguard 2, and Wide Strike were head and shoulders above where we have our threshold. This is weekly average fruit injury. Twin Link Plus still held. Bollguard 3 did well too. Wide Strike 3 broke as a season. Total bowl, it was just over at 7%. Wide Strike, Bollguard 2, and Twin Link for total fruit injury. We saw significant injury in that Red River area up near Shreveport, if you don't know where the Red River area is. This is Macon Ridge. This was on the research station. I know it's kind of a busy slide, but it's essentially the same thing. I included flowers in this. The theme that we saw was Twin Link Plus seemed to perform the best out of all of these trial locations. Bollguard 3 was a close second, although as looking at fruit injury on July 23rd, when we compile all of our fruit totals, we were well over threshold at 20%. Wide Strike 3 also exceeded threshold, and so based on these, we would need to make applications to our Triple Gene cotton. So this is Macon Ridge. This is weekly, average weekly fruit injury. And so you've got, Twin Link Plus still below threshold. Bollguard 3 was right there at 6% for our total fruit injury. Bollguard 2 exceeded it. Wide Strike 3 exceeded it as well. Then Wide Strike and then your non-BT. So we had some pretty severe pressure in some of this. And so, we were averaging, 25% is pretty good for research stations. So it did well for us in this trial. So our unexpected injury timeline, and so I tried to compile, thinking back where we saw our issues and our breakdown. And the one that I have highlighted with Wide Strike 3 was in 2014. And so this was when it was either 495 or 496 had just come out. We planted it. It was a large plot trial at the station in Winsboro. And we were scouting it, looking for, I don't remember what we were looking for, but we started seeing worms hanging out of bowls. And so this was right, this technology, this is the first year that it was going to launch commercially, very limited. We planted it on the research station, and we already had a failure with it. And I remember we took leaf assays, brought the leaves into the greenhouse, fed worms on them. We did the quick, easy, the DNA easy ELISA test. Expression was there, but we still saw... We saw above threshold control even in 2014 when it was released in Winsboro. Bollguard 2, we really started seeing a failure 2017, 2018. TwinLink Plus, I have a question mark next to it. There wasn't enough TwinLink planted in the state to really get a good feel for it. As far as what my data shows, TwinLink Plus seems to do well, but that could very easily change and probably will. And so I've got to turn into a pessimist with what we typically see or what we've seen in Louisiana thus far. But our injuries, you know, we typically, our injury exceeding, or what I quantify as unexpected injury, is anything over 6%, because that's what our growers, I mean, the growers are buying this technology, they want it to control worms. And so in 2016, Bolgard 2 would give me 1 to 2% injury. Now we're looking at 69% injury in as little as 3 years. So as Dr. Kearns had mentioned, Cry 1 and Cry 2 resistance is very prevalent in Louisiana as well as the Mid-South. And then we don't officially in Louisiana have VIP resistance detected yet. But unfortunately, being, you know, I try to look at the glasses half full, but I think it's going to be coming. So where do we go from here? So our threshold's moving forward. And I know if you heard Angus or Dr. Catchett, Dr. Gore, any of us speaking on this issue, we've transitioned to an egg threshold. And so on our double gene, non-BT, you know, in our second generation BT cottons before bloom, 8 larvae per 100 plants, or 6% fruit injury after 20 eggs, or 20% eggs, or 6% fruit injury. I'm pushing my guys hard to use the egg threshold, especially on the dual gene cottons, just because we're going to need it to control worms. On the triple gene, I haven't gone to an egg threshold yet, but I have consultants in central Louisiana that were burned by what happened last year, and they will not wait for worms to reach 6%. They're spraying on eggs and triple gene cotton. And so my fear is that is going to spread across Louisiana, and then we've just devalued our technology from that triple gene cotton. And we may not need it. And you saw I didn't include the tensile parish slide because we had very, very low levels of injury in our tensile parish BT Sentinel trial. And so we were running about 2% injury in the wide strike, roughly maybe 5% in non-BT. So there's different shifts, and across much of any state, like what Stephen had said, you know, you can go a mile down the road and you don't have worms. And we definitely see that in Louisiana as well. Looking at our BT overspray, so what this Dr. Kearns elaborated on this. This is our regional trial that we do where we have a split plot sprayed versus non-sprayed, and this is what we see. The light blue is sprayed, dark blue is non-sprayed. And what really caught my attention is that the Bolgard 3, we did see a significant increase in yield oversprayed versus non-sprayed. But unfortunately, with some of the worm trials that we see, we'll get some interesting little blips in data. And so we do see a yield benefit where we sprayed, as well as with wide strike, which is to be expected. But a lot of these, we didn't see a huge increase where we would see sprayed versus non. And this just looking at, so I threw this slide in here. This is a bollworm overspray test that we conducted where I can tell my growers what to use. And so where maybe kind of hard to see on the x-axis, but it's Prevathon at 14 ounces here on the far left. This is a non-treated. This was sprayed on non-BT cotton. Prevathon at 20 ounces is going to be one of our best treatment, as well as Besiege at 10.2. Intrepid Edge at 6 ounces, kind of all the way almost over toward the end. That's where the D is. It performed. It was not very well. I know Nikki had kind of touched on that in her presentation. And then Acephate plus Bifenthrin, the cheaper option. I know a lot of guys like to run that. You know, we don't really try to stay away from that if we can, just because we have such issues with spider mites in Louisiana that we really want to try to keep, if we can avoid from going broad spectrum as long as possible, it's going to keep us from getting into spider mite territory. But when you make applications, 2 or 3 applications with a diamide, you can't, it's a budget breaker. And I just threw this slide in here to add insult to injury. As well as with our BT resistance, we had a huge spike in pyrethroid resistance in 2018. And so I don't know what, we must not have enough clean living in Louisiana. I don't know what's going on. But we're starting to see a lot of issues with our pyrethroid resistance. We typically have some of the highest pyrethroid resistance levels in the United States. Dr. Musser is on that. They see him shaking his head. I think Virginia's catching up with us. So, but we hopefully will lose that distinction soon, but it doesn't look like it. And so variety and management considerations, our OVT data, I'm running out of time. I'm going to recommend 2-gene cotton because our 2-gene yields better based on OVT than 3-gene. 1646 yielded better than 1835 and 1845. And so I tell my growers to choose for yield and manage the worms. We have the tools to manage the worms, but if it's, you need to make sure it yields on your farm. And timing is going to be more critical than rates. And so if a grower asks me, should I run 14 versus 20 ounces, a timely applied application of 14 ounces on eggs is going to give you better control than a 20-ounce application when you're way late trying to kill worms under bloom tags or deep in the canopy.